Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Our numbers to call if you'd like to be a part of the program, 657-383-0491, 657-383-0491. The health care debate in America continues. If you're listening to the program live today, October the 12th, 2017, a new story even this morning that President Trump is gotten tired of not being able to get anything done with Congress and is proposing an executive action to alter health care in America. We're talking to a gentleman that's literally written the book on what's wrong with the health care system in America and how to straighten it out. The book is called Restoring Health to Health Care. It's a simple, uncomplicated plan, and this is the subhead of the book, by the way, a simple, uncomplicated plan that actually deals with the real cause of the health care crisis facing our nation today, so we can end this problem once and for all. Dr. Miles L. Schneider is our guest. You can find him online at milesofhealth.com. So, Dr. Schneider, what if, you know, doctors discovered how to, like you, discovered how to solve this whole thing that's been around for what seemed to be a millennium and nobody had done it? What would you do about it? It sounds to me like you wrote a book about it. You figured it out.
Well, what I believe is that the problems we've had, you're right, for a millennium with healthcare are perceived to be we have premiums too high, co-pays too high, deductibles too high, finding we're getting everybody to be able to afford quality healthcare, and our government's almost one-sixth, almost one-fifth of our gross domestic product on healthcare. We focus on those issues as being the cause of the problem. While they're concerns, they are not the cause. And until we identify the cause, we're never going to get the problem under control. And in my book, I identify the cause and I give solutions on how to resolve the cause.
And you essentially say, and I'm going to boil it down to a nutshell here, that the reason that Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is doomed for failure is not as much about anything except that Americans are not healthy enough.
Right. I think the ultimate cause of the problem is disease. There's too much disease. And if you, it's basic, if from a business model, it's basic, I guess, business economics. It's about supply and demand. If you could cut down on the disease, you cut down the demand for healthcare services, you cut down the demand for healthcare costs. That's essentially what I'm proposing. But I have some, what I think are unique ways to get America and Americans to cut down on disease, because we know a lot of research I've done from people with a lot more experience than me in this field, that 70% or more of all serious diseases like heart attacks, strokes, cancer, diabetes can be prevented by early detection and preventative changes in the way we live.
Dr. Miles Schneider is our guest today. The book is Restoring Health to Healthcare, and you can find out more about Miles, and that's Miles with a Y, by the way, at milesofhealth.com. Now, Miles, you grew up again. May I call you Miles, or do you prefer Dr. Schneider?
Yes, no, Miles is fine. Thanks.
All right. Miles, you grew up around this. You've been doing it your whole life. If I have this right, your dad was doctor, mom was dietitian,
right.
And you're a
right.
guy that you're, you know, competitive runner, and you eat healthy, and so you've been around sort of health and wellness all along. You know, the obvious thing that I would say before we get into the specifics of your plan is, look, people are going to get sick. That is going to happen. So I'm assuming that your plan factors in for that as well.
Oh, yes. There's going to still be disease, but many diseases can be prevented, and also many diseases or conditions can be delayed. Obviously, at some point, the body's going to fall apart. I'm not saying we can never get sick and we live forever, but I think science has proven, the research has shown, that with simple things that I was shocked how the study showed that just three basic things will significantly decrease most of a significant amount of diseases. And that's just eating healthy, getting regular exercise, avoiding tobacco, just those three things. And I can think about two or three more that we can add to that list. So I was actually excited when I, over and over again, I'd see the same studies by the same, say, same statistics by different reputable organizations over and over again.
Dr. Miles Schneider is our guest. The book is Restoring Health to Healthcare. And you know, you're right. If you buy into the premise and research bears it out that about 3 out of 4 chronic diseases are things like diabetes and cancer and heart disease and stroke, and a lot of that can be prevented if we all straighten up and fly right in terms of taking care of our bodies. Let's get into this. You know, we hear about the healthcare debate over and over again, and it certainly seems very, very complex. You say not so much. So in a nutshell, how does it work? What's your idea to restore health to healthcare and get the country out of this healthcare debate?
Well, I can answer that two ways. I'll cut to the chase and tell you what the basic of my plan is, but then tell you how I think it would work, what I think needs to be done right now. In my plan, the basic part of my plan, and there's several different parts, but is that everybody, in order to get insurance, let's say for next year, you must, it's mandatory, you must have a physical. And it's called a wellness exam to determine how well you are or are not. Purpose of the exam is not to take away your insurance. There's no problems with pre-existing. You can never lose your insurance or be penalized because you're not healthy. But by a year from now, you get the same exam. And the result of this year's exam is the doctor or the, I call them wellness doctors eventually, will tell you what our goals are for next year. If you meet your goal a year from your first exam, you will be incentivized financially by the government somewhere between $1,000 to $5,000, depending upon your level of health and depending upon if you reach the goals or not. That's ultimately, I'm simplifying it, but that's essentially the plan. And the reason for the mandatory exam, again, is not to hurt you. And also, it means that gets every person in the doctor's office every year, and every study shows prevention and early detection leads to decrease of 70% of our diseases. Take away 70% for $3.207 trillion spent in 2015 on our healthcare, or $3.34 trillion last year, that's a lot of money. We wouldn't have a crisis. I mean, that's not going to work that well that fast, but that's essentially what I'm saying.
So if I've got this right, then your thought is, like in the old days, the way our parents and grandparents did it, you go in, you get an annual physical, and the doctor gives you a grade. Maybe let's say it's somewhere on a 1 to 10 scale, and they grade you. And then the following year, you go back, and if you are in that healthy percentile, then you make some money, and the government cuts you a check. And would you theorize then that the amount of money that the government cuts you for staying healthy is going to be far less than gets spent on the healthcare system today? Is that sort of the basic premise here?
Correct. Yeah, I've done some math. I'm not an economic professor. I'm a podiatrist, a foot doctor. I've been in healthcare most of my life, but I've done the math. If you want, I'll give you a quick scenario. Take 70% of $3.207 trillion. 2015, because that's when I used the statistics, because most of the book was written in 16. 70% of that is $2.245 trillion. If you just 10% of the people in this country were interested in doing this and had a positive impact on their health from year one to year two, we could save $224 million. And according
wow.
to my plan, you get incentivized by the government. So 10% of our population over 18 comes to 16,300,000 people. Times, let's say, an average of $3,000 incentives comes out to $48 billion, means we have an excess of $175 or $6 billion that could be used to help people who can't afford health care. We can save money. To me, that's what my math shows me. That's just
Dr.
Mel
Schneider is our guest today. It's brilliant. It's a whole different way to look at this thing. Well, you're welcome. The book, by the way, is called Restoring Health to Healthcare. You can find it at Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. And the website for Dr. Schneider is milesofhealth.com, and that's MYLES.
Can I ask? Okay, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, doctor.
I was going to say how it
the floor is yours.
I'm sorry. What I would do right now is I would stabilize the insurance companies so that no one's panicking for the next year or two. And whatever he's going to do today, I know has to do with the association health plans. I actually think that's a good idea. And then why not do what Francis Bacon said in 1597, that knowledge itself is power. Why don't we take 1 or 2 years to get Congress to get the knowledge it needs to empower them to make the right decision? The two things I would do is, one, I'd call it something called a Healthy Living Program Study that's in my book, and it's a 1 or 2 year program that will cost somewhere between $20 to $40 billion if people participated, and incentivize people up to $10,000 to get healthy. Just take a voluntary basis, 1 million people can get a $10,000 check, and there's some other checks, that money levels, that if you're not in as perfect health, you could be in fair health, good health. That's number one. Number two, do things like what President Trump, I believe, is going to sign soon. Some other ideas I thought made sense, health savings accounts, healthy for premiums, bare bones insurance, catastrophic insurance plans, maybe dealing with the pharmaceutical companies, trying to lower costs. Try some of these things that everyone thinks is going to work. So we're working on two levels. One, we're trying to see in a year or two if all the things that the Republicans have talked about, like I just mentioned and a few others I probably did not mention, will lower premiums. Meantime, do my Healthy Living Program study, which is a pilot program for a year or two, see how much money we're going to save by living proactive or preventive. Then in a year or two, we have all the information we need to make the right choice. No guessing, no projections. But after what we know, it's going to be facts. We won't have to guess.
Doctor, do you know if a plan like this exists anywhere in the world? Are there any other countries that are doing something similar to this?
I have no idea. I mean, I did this working on another book almost, to God, 8-9 years ago. I had just a brief mention of it in about 4 pages. It's expanded, obviously. But I'm not aware of it. I certainly didn't find it anywhere else. I know there are plans, even in our country, there are health insurance plans that incentivize people that they can get lower premiums if they lose weight and if they stop smoking. That's around. But I don't know of anywhere where the government actually gives money back for that. I'm not sure.
You know, it certainly is positioned to people as this huge, complicated thing that is going to be very difficult to get unwound, but you know, the soup to nuts thing that you've come up with is reasonably simple. Let me ask you one specific question. You've mentioned a difference here, and I want to make sure I'm keeping track that you would incent people up to $5,000, you know, to get healthy or get healthier, and then just a moment ago you mentioned an even bigger check. And as a financially motivated individual, as most people are, you mentioned a $10,000 check. So what's the difference in the $5,000 and the $10,000 again?
Okay, well, thanks. All right, I'm sorry for complicating it. The original $5,000 is my ultimate plan that would, let's say, be part of a law that would be the new Health Care Act, whatever they want to call it. The $10,000 was just before we do that, if people want to know how the results could be, we would just be able to significantly incentivize people right now for a year or two to get people to start living healthy, to get an idea how much money we would save.
Got it. So it's a sliver of people.
It's a pilot study.
Right.
I got you. This is just a pilot study, voluntary, between the ages of 45 and 75. And there's a reason why I picked those ages.
And what is that?
Well, most people start really getting, the cost of health care really starts going up after you're 45, and it really goes up much higher. I think it's about $8,500 when you're 45. It's about $15,000 over 65, and it comes to $35,000 over 85. So health care expenses on average per person really jumps from 45 to 85. And I felt I stopped it at 75, so we give those people a chance to try to increase their health so we can see the difference and how much money we can save by living healthy.
The book is called Restoring Health to Healthcare. Our guest is Dr. Miles Schneider, and he's come up with this pretty uncomplicated plan that actually deals with the real cause of the healthcare crisis. That's that we're not all healthy, and what to do about it, that could essentially end this whole thing, this whole problem of how to pay for health care once and for all. Dr. Schneider, stick around with us. When we come back, I want to get into some specific scenarios that maybe you've run across as a physician in dealing with insurance and insurance companies and sort of how you see this thing playing out. Miles Schneider is our guest today. The book is Restoring Health to Healthcare. We'll be back right after this on the Blog Talk Radio Network.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this now for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy!
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
Live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. live in concert. For concert dates and more information, visit LandauMurphyJr.com. That's LandauMurphyJr.com.
Like I have 4 years. I'm in the living room, banging on the old upright, where my world began, discovering the music that the child I was, before I became the mess that I am.
It's the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Our telephone number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, once again, 657-383-0491. That's 657-383-0491. We're getting into the healthcare debate with our guest, the author of Restoring Health to Healthcare, Dr. Miles Schneider. He's come up with a pretty interesting and uncomplicated way to unwind this whole mess. And he basically says the premise of it, the reason it's all going to fall apart, is we're all too unhealthy. And that's why insurance costs so much. And that's why the Affordable Care Act is doomed to fail. The interesting piece is he says the government should incent Americans to get healthy, write checks to them if they do so. So, doctor, one question that occurred to me during the commercial break there is if someone has a pre-existing condition, and let's just say it's Bob, and Bob is 70 years old and he has type 2 diabetes and he's a little overweight and he comes in for his annual physical and maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, the doctor gives him a 4. What does he need to get to make some money? And you know, what are there guidelines that are set up for each physician, or do the physicians have some leeway in figuring out whether or not these folks get a cash incentive for getting healthy?
Well, part of my plan is you have to get a group of physicians that become like a panel, and they will set up the parameters of, you know, what the exam actually entails and what our goals will be. But for example, with someone who's diabetes, 70 years old, a little overweight, blood sugar's a little high, maybe they don't get enough exercise or sleep. And let's say the person comes in year one, doctor says, okay, listen, by next year, I'd like you to lose 10 or 15 pounds. I mean, assuming he's not terribly overweight. I'd like you to get into an exercise program because we can do a stress test. We'll know whether you're more physically fit next year than this year, and we'd like you to try to get a little more sleep, maybe give you more recommendations on how to eat, but the goal would be get your blood sugar down a little more, lose a little weight, and get regular exercise so you have better oxygen capacity and better aerobic ability. Year number two comes along, person still has diabetes, but blood sugar's down, lost his 10 or 15 pounds, he's working out 3 times a week and it's or more, and it shows on the physical exam, then that person would be eligible for the incentives. The way the incentives work, if he's at 4 points, that means he's in, according to my plan, 4 points would be a little bit in fair health. If he moves up to that, which would get him $1,000, by the way, the next year if he stayed there. If he gets to good health, which would be 5 to 7 points, 4 on my scale, 5.1 to 7.5 on my scale, he would get eligible for $3,000. If he could jump 5 points, and get up to 7.5 or above, he can be eligible for 5,000. So it doesn't matter.
So it's really about inciting people to improve.
Right.
It's really about inciting them to get better.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not about you must be in perfect health and not take any medication. No, that's not what I'm saying. You have to improve from where you are, because we know for diabetes, for example, unfortunately, a lot of expenses because of complications, but you can avoid a lot of those if you control your sugar and exercise and watch what you eat and your weight.
I don't want to be too much of a conspiracy theorist guy on this, but I can imagine there would have to be some pushback on this plan. You mentioned medication from pharmaceutical companies, maybe medical supply companies, who see, an America that is insured and heavily medicated as their meal ticket. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And as a physician who has dealt with medical supply companies and pharmaceutical companies for your entire career, what say you to that? Do you think you would get a lot of pushback from those industries?
I'm assuming I would. You know, the truth is I never focused on that, not to be not far-sighted. All I'm trying to do is, if we need to solve this problem, because if we don't solve this problem, we're never going to be able to get this money situation with healthcare under control. So I never really focused on that. But I would say that the pharmaceutical people are still going to get sick. Not as many. But maybe this is just thinking out of the box. Maybe the pharmaceutical companies will start gearing some of their research, their resources on trying to find better types, what I would call substances or supplements that could be put in the body that can help replenish what we lose as we get older. Maybe they could spend more research and products on that. Medical supply product companies, I don't think that'll be a problem, because there are going to be more preventative issues. There may be more technology to how to exercise better, how to lose weight differently. They can get involved in some products like that. But I never really focused on that, because my focus is to just get healthcare under control. But I think there'd be probably pushback, but I think they'll just change the direction in which they concentrate their energy and how they can financially still make money. An example I would give is, who buys 78 records or 33 records anymore, or cassette tapes? Those businesses went by the wayside, but we came up with new ideas. We had CDs, and then we have, and DVDs, and now we got the internet with video music, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So the industry would shift on market demand. Miles Schneider is our guest today. Dr. Schneider wrote a book called Restoring Health to Healthcare, but really it's more of a plan to strip away the mystique and the mystery of how complicated this thing really is. And he says it's not so complicated. Incent Americans to get healthy. Literally incent them with cash money, and they get them into the doctor for a wellness checkup once a year. You get healthier, healthy you get, the more money you can make. As a guy who's seen patients for many, many years, if you were to spitball this a little bit, how much of people that come in to see the doctor on an annual basis would you say, it's things that are preventable, things they could get in front of if they only knew how or if they only wanted to? Would you say, 1 in 10? Would you say 5 in 10? Would you say 8 in 10?
Probably much more than that. I think majority of problems could be prevented. Now, I'm in the field of podiatry, so I specialize in foot care, but over the years I really was involved in sports medicine, and as a podiatrist, I had diabetics. And that was an interesting study done that was published in 2010 by Thomson Reuters. That's a research marketing firm with expertise worldwide. It's an international company in healthcare. They took 32,000 diabetic charts from the ages of 18 to 64 and 43,000 charts of people 65 and up who all had diabetes. And the ones that had at least one visit a year by a podiatrist, which turns out to be a preventive concept, saved for every dollar spent on healthcare for the younger group, there was $27 to $51 saved that year. For every dollar spent on the older group, because there were people already, the disease had advanced, they still save $9 to $13 per person per year. That's a lot of money. That's just one symptom or sign of one, unfortunately, serious disease. I just can't imagine what it would be like if we did that for all diseases. And I know with sports medicine, the easy part was figure out what the injury is. The hard part is to make sure they don't get re-injured. And I essentially became a coach That's how I read books about coaching on the sports that I dealt with, because most of the injuries I saw were preventable, almost all of them, except if you get tackled. Outside of that, most injuries are overuse.
It's almost too good to be true. It's one of these things where you go, you smack your forehead and you think, why didn't I think of that? It's all detailed, by the way, in Dr. Schneider's book. It's called Restoring Health to Healthcare. And if you want to dive deep into it, you can learn more at milesofhealth.com, M-Y-L-E-S, milesofhealth.com. You know, we talked in the first segment about your dad being a doctor, your mom being a dietitian. Wonder what they would think about your idea.
I'm sure being a dietitian and nutritionist, I think they would think it's a good, because I think dietitians and nutritionists are always into, and they know that if you put in your body good stuff, good things are going to happen to your body. I'm not saying doctors don't, but that's their whole focus. I think a father would say the same thing. I mean, let's say, for example, what's the purpose of getting a flu shot? Is to try to prevent the flu. You get pneumonia. I just got the pneumonia injection after a certain age to prevent pneumonia. It's not that doctors and medicine, we don't know that. It's just that, in my opinion, our system is geared towards reacting. We react to a disease. Our system gets into full gear. If you come in sick or you have symptoms of the disease, we don't spend a lot of time and money on being proactive and preventative to begin with. A good example would be someone who comes, let's say someone 60 years old had a heart attack. He's overweight, doesn't exercise, doesn't sleep well, doesn't watch what he eats, and had a heart attack. And then what's the first thing they do, whether you need surgery or not, or open heart surgery? You come back and they get you in cardiac rehab. They tell you how to eat and be careful about what you eat, et cetera, and they give you a lot of classes in that. Makes perfect sense, and they needed to do that. But what if it's been going on for 40 years when the man or the woman was 30 or 40 years old? It might not have had that heart attack. And if they did, maybe it wouldn't be as severe. And if they get one, maybe they'd be 70 or 80 years old instead of 50 or 60. That's the whole point.
As we broadcast live today online with the Blog Talk Radio Network, just this morning, and this is Thursday, October the 12th, just this morning, it was an announcement from the White House that the president is going to take executive action to provide more alternatives to health insurance. He's going to sign some sort of executive order that, in theory, would help people purchase insurance across state lines, among other changes. And, of course, critics are already jumping on it, saying that this is an attempt by the White House to undermine Obamacare. White House, of course, is saying it's actually going to help expand access and lower costs. I know you're a physician, not a politician, but Congress and the White House are going to have a lot to say about all this. Handicap your chances in getting people to pay attention to this. Do you think you got a snowball's chance in hell to get it done, Doctor?
Well, I think he can do it. He's an executive order. I don't know, from what I gathered last hearing someone talk about it last night, that it's nothing that Congress is going to vote on right now. I guess he could just do it. I'll tell you what I think. An example: let's say a miracle happened, and a month from now, the Democrats and the Republicans decide to put down, stop fighting, and they come out with the perfect bill, whether it's a modified version of Obamacare, and they add whatever President Trump did. They come out with this perfect health care bill. And 2018, premiums go down, co-pays go down, deductibles go down, and maybe we save $10 billion in health care costs. Everyone would think that's a good thing, and I would too. But I have a question. What would happen in 2019? I know it's going to happen in 2019 because the facts are telling us every year more people getting sicker and sicker at younger and younger ages with serious chronic diseases like heart attacks, or heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, and a condition like obesity. And that costs of 73% to 75% plus of all health care costs around those diseases. So the cost of health care from 2018 with this perfect bill has to go up in 2019. That's my point. No matter what they do, unless you cut down on the demand for the service, it's never going to be, it can't be solved. Maybe short-term premiums can go down, but the next year it's got to go back up. There's more people going to be sick.
I love it. We'll have to leave it right there. We're almost out of time. But I love the idea. I love the concept that you cut right through and come up with a really uncomplicated plan to get us out of this mess. The book, Restoring Health to Healthcare, the author is Dr. Miles Schneider. Find out more at milesofhealth.com. Dr. Schneider, thank you so much for being a part of the program. I'm Burke Allen, live in our studios in Washington, D.C. Now go out and make it a great day.